Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu, two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Periskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome back, everybody, to The Fighting Priests, our 42nd episode. I'm here with Father Thomas Sandberg from Calgary, as usual. Father Thomas, how's it going, man?
Good. I had a crazy last, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 days, so.
1, 2, 3, 4 days?
I look at the calendar, yeah, it was pretty crazy. So it was good on Saturday. I didn't have any services. I didn't have Vespers in the evening, which is whatever, but so I was able, I just went and trained for a couple hours, just open mat, so that was really nice. And then picked up my mom and stepdad because they're in town now for a bit.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I had a 40-day blessing this morning. So.
And we also had this past weekend, it was busy because we had like the
25th. Yeah. And the doxology of the Greek school stuff. And
Yeah. For those who don't know, the Greeks celebrate Greek Independence Day on March 25th, which is also the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary. So it's like this double religious / Hellenic cultural feast, I guess you could say, right? So so much stuff going on, and we were all busy, at least all people, whether you're priests or just lay people. It's a very busy weekend, but now we're past it, thank God, and we're on Monday, and we have a very special guest today, who I actually have a little bit of history with, Christina Bamboulas, because Christina is, well, I've known Christina too for quite a few years, but she's also married to my friend Terry Maropoulos, who is a graduate of our theological academy here in Toronto. I was in seminary with Terry, he actually graduated, I think, a year after I did. He was a year behind me, and he is our finance officer at our archdiocese, and Christina is married to him. Christina, how many years have you guys been married now?
So we got married in 2012.
Okay, yeah. So
in October, it will be 10 years.
10 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I thought it was less, to tell you the truth, because I've been married like 15 years. And yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess that you guys did get married.
Yeah.
Not that far after us. So So Christina is on our podcast today because Christina just started her BJJ journey, her Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu journey, literally a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And I found that out, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a really good opportunity to interview somebody who is just stepping on the mats for the first time and doesn't know anything and is probably terrified, just like
Absolutely.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so today we have a perfect opportunity to kind of, because we've interviewed so many different people on our podcast over the last almost 2 years, and almost all of them have some experience with jiu-jitsu. And never have we had the chance to kind of grab somebody at the very beginning. So I think it's fascinating, and we're really happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Christina, you're based here out of Toronto, just like I am.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself? We know that you're married to my friend Terry.
Yeah.
A little bit about your family, maybe.
Yep. Married to Terry. We have two girls, Chrysanthi and Alexia. They're 5 and 7. We live in East York, very close to the metropolis where Terry works. Mm-hmm. And right now I am a stay-at-home mom. Nice. But I'm working on opening up my own preschool program.
Oh, wow.
Which will be starting in September of this year out of my home. Nice. So working on that, and that's about it. Just the home life.
So is your background like teaching?
Yep. I have my EC degree from Ryerson University. I also went to UFT, got my bachelor's of education. Mm-hmm. And, but for where I am right now in my life with two young children, it just makes sense for me to work and do something from home where I can manage my hours better, be there for pickup when the kids are done school. So, I was previously working at a daycare center, and their preschool program ran from 8:30 to 2:30, which was perfect hours for me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do the same thing. run a similar program from home with the same hours, and also be there for the girls for pickup when they're done school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about, priest wives, but also former seminarians wives. Everyone's a teacher. My wife's a teacher. Yeah.
There's a lot of teachers. Yeah. I think it's that maternal, you know, instinct that we have in us. From a young age, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. So.
Yeah. A lot of teachers tell me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tell me that.
Yeah.
I don't know if all priests say that. We'll see. At a young age, I wanted to swing the censer.
Yeah.
Or maybe jujitsu prediction. I don't know if a lot of people do jujitsu say from a young age, I want to strangle people.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Just want to, you know, do some chokeholds and.
Nice. So you have the two kids, you're setting up your own daycare kind of thing, which is really good.
Yes.
And it's very popular, like in East York, especially. Like one of our close friends also has one out of her house. It seems to be a very popular thing, especially since you guys are close to the downtown core, right? So a lot of people are working and they're doing public transit. So they prefer to have kind of like daycares nearby in their neighborhoods. Right. So,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll let the black belt ask you maybe,
okay.
You know, how you got involved with BJJ. Yeah.
I got this text message recently. Father Ted was like, Terry's wife started training, and I remember because I know you from Toronto, right? Do you still go to the chapel on Sunday to that church?
So we go sometimes to the chapel, and sometimes we go to Metamorphosis on Dawnlands.
Okay. Yeah.
Mostly the chapel.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I knew you from. So when he told me that, I was like, Terry's wife started training, and so I know where. But you tell us, where do you train, and how did this commence?
Yes. I started going to Riverdale Martial Arts on Broadview. Mm-hmm. And I started because I wanted to firstly do something active, lose weight, mm-hmm. Get in somewhat shape, because over the years I've put on weight. And I'm just, you know, I'm done with that. I just wanted to find something that would challenge me and motivate me. And so first and foremost was losing weight, getting in shape. And then my friend and her husband started sending their daughter, actually, who's 9, to Riverdale Martial Arts for the kids BJJ class. And they were telling me how great it was. And, you know, the instructors are awesome, and they had such a great kids program. And then I started looking at their website online, and I saw they have, you know, adult classes. And so I thought, you know what, why not give it a try? They have a 30-day free trial. So I thought, you know what, I'll just give it a shot. I've always been interested in martial arts, because when I was a kid, I was doing Tung Sudo in the area. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a few years. I started when I was 6 till about 12 years old. I was doing that with my brother a few times a week. And it was awesome. I went up to blue belt. And my brother actually got his black belt. And I would have continued, but unfortunately, the instructor at the time, I don't know, had some issues, and he ended up closing and moving back to Greece. Okay. He was Greek, yeah. And so he ended up closing and moving back to Greece. And then after that, I just stopped. Mm-hmm. And I never really got into martial arts after that. But when I started thinking about what to do, how to get active, and what to do to lose weight, I realized that going to a gym is just not really my thing. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about something else to do, you know, I don't know, boot camp classes outside, or, you know, Pilates, this, that. And then I realized And I remembered when I was a kid doing karate, right, doing Tang Si Do, how much I loved it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to look into karate again, so martial arts, you know? And then once my friend started talking about jiu-jitsu and this place, I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And it's very different, though, because at the time, I didn't realize that you're mostly on the ground.
Yeah.
Because when I was doing Tang Soo Do, I remember it was very focused on kicks and punches and blocks. And we were also doing a lot of, I don't remember the word, but.
Kata?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. So I had to memorize and learn all the steps and
Gotcha, yeah.
So, so
really helpful in a street fight.
Yeah, and I remember like Terry was talking to me about jiu-jitsu, and he was saying like it's different. He was showing me videos, and I was like, you know, we're watching UFC videos, and I was like, oh man, why are you showing this to me?
Yes.
Yeah, when I was, you know, when my friends were talking about it and how much they loved it, and they were saying that it's, you know, obviously, you know, it's a whole process. You know, you're not going to just be thrown in there and, you know, and anyways, but yeah, so yeah, that's how I got started.
Are you enjoying it so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am enjoying it. I don't know. I've had a whirlwind of emotions from being super, super, super nervous. Like the first day I was like, I walked in and there was a class already going on, and there was two women who were rolling, and then behind them were two men, and I sat down on the bench. I didn't want to interrupt. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting on the bench waiting for them to finish. And I was just watching them, and I was thinking to myself, what am I doing here? Like, because these guys were good, like so good. Like, I think they were, you know, a few were blue belt, some were purple. And I was like, these guys are awesome. Like, but on the other hand, I was like, what am I doing here? I can't do this. You know, it was very, very intimidating. And
were you by yourself too?
What's that?
You went by yourself, like totally alone?
I was by myself. Yeah, I was alone. Wow. And then I was sitting there watching them thinking, oh my gosh. And then I thought, you know what? You know, just give it a shot. Don't leave. Just see how it goes. You know, do the first class. And it was honestly amazing. One of the men that were there for the first class, actually for the second class, which I was a part of, he was with me most of the hour, just showing me, you know, the warm-up moves, how the class goes, and showing me some of the basics, and and he, just the way he was moving and rolling and doing front roll and back rolls, I was like, this is so easy. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, you know, you try the front roll, you try a back roll. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not do it. It was, it looks a lot harder. No, sorry. It looks a lot easier. And then when you're actually going to do it, it's hard. It's quite difficult. And, but he was awesome, you know, just going through things with me.
Was that Bobby?
No. So Bobby and Mike were teaching the class, and I was kind of off on the side with another student who has been there for 4 years.
Okay.
And he was just showing me some stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he was basically showing me the warm up.
Yeah.
Things that they do and what they do for warm ups. But and I broke a sweat just. Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I can relate.
Yeah.
Father Thomas, I don't know how his first day was, but Father Thomas was always thin and athletic.
Yeah.
And me, and I put myself in the same group, are not. So I had the same experience because I was 360 pounds, which is big, even for a 6'4 guy, right? And I couldn't do front rolls. I'm like, what is this? I couldn't even do a back roll. My belly was so big, I couldn't even get my knees, like, to the momentum to go over my shoulder backwards. And I'm like, what? I couldn't do a shrimp. Did you do shrimps?
Like, oh my gosh, yes. He was showing me how to do it, and so doing it on the mat after a few tries, I think I got it. I don't know. And then but as I'm watching the others actually doing the warm-up and going through it, they're going so fast. Mm-hmm. They're going so fast on the mat, you know, doing, is it called a ninja? No, shrimp.
The shrimp.
Yeah, the shrimp. Doing the shrimp, and they're just moving so fast across. And I was just, you know, trying to figure out how to do one. And like same with the front roll, back roll, you know. But it was very interesting. And I enjoyed it. And then the second class, when I went back the second time, that was more fun. I actually started practicing and doing some moves with another woman who had been there for a while as well. She's awesome. And she was showing me some things, and I was on the mat, and I'm literally staring at her like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, okay, remember, you know, Mike was showing us that, do this, do that, and, you know, showing me some stuff. And I was like, yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of information at once. It's a lot to remember. So many steps, so many, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mind froze, like, literally. And then it was my turn. You know, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, no, hand goes here, leg here, foot here. And I'm like, it was a lot. It was overwhelming.
Yeah. Mike's a good teacher. For our listeners, so Riverdale Martial Arts in Toronto is an affiliate of the Jiu-Jitsu for Life team, the same team that I'm ranked under, right, from Toronto BJJ. And Mike, what's his last name? Can't pronounce it. Starts with Mike Zed, I'll call him that. And he used to teach at Toronto BJJ. So I would take his Wednesday night classes, right? And then relatively recently, he started teaching at Riverdale Martial Arts. So.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's great. I think him and Bobby take turns. Mm-hmm. So when I go, I've been going to the 7 to 8 class. So I believe Bobby's doing the 6 to 7 class, and then Mike is doing the 7 to 8. And then again, Bobby does the 8 to 9. So I've been mostly with Mike, and he's great. And then at the end of the second class, he was like, okay, Christina, well, he's like, you just gotta, you know, gotta get into it. There's no, he's like, you just gotta go in, you know, get into it. So let's go over here. We're going to roll. And I'm like, oh, sorry, what? He's like, you just gotta get into it. He's like, you know, come on over here. And I was like, okay. And then, so he was just going through, you know, this is how both start on your knees. They have a little handshake and a fist pump that they do. And, you know, then he said how the higher belt will, I think, lay down, and then the lower belt will be, you know, so he was just going through things, and it was just very, very interesting. but it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. So yeah.
How many classes have you gone to so far?
Three.
Okay. Nice.
Tomorrow I'm planning to go back. That will be my fourth class. Yeah. I was going to go on Sunday because they have a Sunday afternoon class. Mm-hmm. But we went to the parade on the Danforth. So we wanted to bring the kids there, to see the parade. So I didn't end up going, but yeah. So I'm going to go tomorrow for my fourth class.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, and for my first class, when I started jiu-jitsu, there was supposed to be three of us, two of my coworkers, when I was a welder, we were all supposed to go. Of course, they didn't go. Only I went by myself in December of 2011 by myself to this club. So I know the feeling of going somewhere alone, right? And I was thin and athletic. I used to have a very unhealthy lifestyle, and then I got lifting weights. So a bit more healthy, still some bad habits. But then the your cardio you need for jiu-jitsu is
oh my God.
It's totally different, right? So it's your strength is not going to help you.
Yeah, I feel like I need to start jogging and running just to be somewhat, you know, capable of keeping up with these guys. Because, you know, at one point I was so out of breath.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so exhausted that this was my third class. I literally thought I felt like I was going to throw up at one point. Because
that's good.
No, I felt like.
Yeah, same feeling. I remember when I was a very, very new no stripe white belt like that, I had the same feeling when you're all red and you're like, I'm going to die. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. What weight you are, you know, it's your lungs and your, you know, whatever you do, you're conditioned for that thing, right?
Yeah.
So if you haven't done jiu-jitsu, you're not going to be conditioned for jiu-jitsu.
No. Yeah. You really need to have stamina and, the cardio aspect is difficult.
Will come the time. Don't worry so much. I worried a lot about it when I started too. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to go now and lift weights and this and that. And you don't have to be like, down the road, you might want to do that, but you don't have to do anything more than just go to the classes, because naturally you're going to, your stamina and your flexibility and your muscle tone, all that stuff is going to come along just by doing the rolling and doing the exercises. That itself is going to make you feel better and you're going to progress. Like I rarely lift any weights outside of like, I do very little, like minimum, like very little, like kettlebell now. And I've been doing it for 2 years. I don't do anything else. I used to run a lot. And then I kind of stopped doing that because it's very hard on the knees. And it's not good for jiu-jitsu. You want your knees to be strong for jiu-jitsu. So impact when you're running. Some people are really light. I'm not going to say who, but their name rhymes.
I run.
Thomas. And I enjoy running too. Like I ran a lot, especially like during COVID and stuff. Lightly, not like heavy, not too fast. I quite enjoy it, but I felt that I had to pull back a little bit because I felt my knees were starting to get, like I could feel the aching in the knees. So like cycling is better if your knees are, especially if you're heavier weight or overweight, right? You don't want to burn out your knees. So, but you're going to just, you'll get better. I get it. It's, I know the feeling. So it's going to get better with time. The more you do it, it's just stay consistent with your training. That's all. Don't skip.
Try to not
skip. Have a consistent schedule and you'll see that you'll feel better.
Yeah. Well, at the end of my first class, I was speaking with another woman there and she was like, oh, it's so nice to see another woman join. And, you know, we're just chatting a little bit and she's like, just keep coming back. She's like, I know this is all so overwhelming and it could be, you know, intimidating but just keep coming back. Trust me. She's like, just keep coming back. And I said, all right, I will come back.
Yeah, especially if you keep training by next December, November, when the Jiu Jitsu for Life team does their whole annual and you'll be a part of that, you'll see it's like a huge, the whole association, like the Canadian part, maybe some of the Americans might come too, but it's like this huge in-house tournament and it's a really awesome experience to take the whole team picture and everything.
At Ryerson
too, they do it.
Oh, at Ryerson. Nice.
They have all the belt promotions and stuff like that. And yeah, it's pretty nice.
Cool.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Did you get, I know you've only gone a couple of times, three times, but in those three times, have you gotten like submitted at all? Like did they go easy on you or did they go hard on you in the rolling?
No, I think they went pretty easy on me.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I think they went pretty easy on me. There was, there was at one point when I was with, we were doing, I can't remember what it's called, the part of the class, basically where Mike is showing us what to do and then you go and practice it.
Yeah, drilling, yeah.
Yeah, so we were doing that. And then, so at that day, there was one, I can't remember what it's called again, but it's one where basically you roll the person, you grab them from their pants and you roll them back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. So she stopped. She's like, are you ready for me to roll you over?
Like,
I'm like,
rolling them forward, like up against your neck. Like,
so she's rolling me backwards. I was on the floor on the mat.
Yeah. So she's stacking you. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I was very stacked. Yes. I was like, and she's like, are you ready? She's telling me, she's like, just tuck your chin in, you know? She's like, if I'm rolling you over your left shoulder, turn your head to the right, tuck your chin. And then she's like, take a deep breath. I'm like, I'm not ready, but just do it. So she was doing it. And she's like, don't worry. All this stuff will come back to you. These are the moves that we used to do when we were kids. And it'll just come so natural to you. I'm like, no, I don't think so. So it's been fun.
it will all this stuff that's overwhelming, your brain like freezes, and even it gets better, but it gets better really slowly, so don't get discouraged, right? Like,
and
as for the Thomas, like, even when he said, like, in one of our podcasts, I remember he said, like, you know, you become a black belt and now it's a new world altogether, and I gotta learn more stuff. And it's like, it's always adding new knowledge, and you still gotta assimilate that information, right? You just get better at it, but it's never ending, because it's like chess with your body. Right?
Yeah, so exactly. Intricate.
Yeah. Every little tiny movement and where you grab and where you put your hand and where you put your foot. And it's just, the more you do it, it'll just come naturally to you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping.
No, it will. I don't know anybody who sticks to it that doesn't have that experience, right? Like, the fundamentals that you're learning, like shrimping and rolling over your shoulder, or like, you know, you'll do break falls eventually, like how to fall properly and things like that, so you don't get hurt. All that stuff, you're going to use it in rolling. And once you know it, like in your sleep, then it's just going to happen automatically. You're not going to think about it, right? Then you're going to the next thing, right?
Right.
You're going to be doing it automatically.
Well, the one thing that kind of eased me was knowing that if there's ever a time where I don't feel safe, or I don't feel, you know, just tap and... Yeah. Automatically the other person just backs off, right? So I was like, all right, good to know, you know, quick two taps and you know, done. So
this is the paradox of jiu-jitsu, right? It's like, compared to other martial arts where you really can't go 100% because you'd kill the person or really hurt them badly, like in karate you can't actually punch the person in the face, right? So you're gonna practice your kata imitating that you're going to punch the person in the face, but you're never actually punching them, right? But in jiu-jitsu, you can go like fairly hard, like as you get more confident in rolling, and it's also, there's kind of like there's a kind of safety that you tap, and if you're uncomfortable, you tap and the game stops.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's both. Like it's kind of like, it's a paradox. Like, you can go hard, and you can be fairly prepared for the real world, for a real self-defense situation, or in sports jiu-jitsu, for example, if you're competing. But at the same time, you always have that safety where, especially when you're rolling with friends that you know, that, you know, you can stop from getting any kind of serious injury, right? So
that's
wonderful about it.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, is at the back of my head, you know, sustaining an injury, something happening, you know. It's at the back of my head because, sure, I don't know. I'm just, this is all so new. So, you know, it's there, you know, a little bit of that fear is there. But yeah, it's good to know also that if there's ever a time where I'm not comfortable, or, you know, I just tap and, you know, done. Mm-hmm. So.
Wasn't there a girl with a bleed? You were telling me yesterday or the other day, there was a girl. With a
bleed.
She was talking to you.
So that same girl that I was talking to, at the end of my first class, she was just saying, how safe it is, and, you know, don't work. Meanwhile, her lip is bleeding. I'm like, she was like wiping her lip. And meanwhile, I don't know, something had happened earlier, and I'm like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. She's like, oh, this is nothing. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been fun.
Then I want to know, so what's Terry's take on it so far?
Terry, Terry is, I actually got him to do a front roll the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Terry, it's a lot harder, you know, than, so I grabbed, we have a yoga mat. I put the yoga mat out on the carpet and I said, actually, first I told him, I said, I'm going to practice. I'm going to try and do it. So he right away, you know, pulls out his phone, YouTube, figuring out, you know, YouTubing how to do a front roll. And he's like, okay, you got to do this and you got to do that. And I'm like, no. Like, I feel more comfortable doing it this way. And then, so I'm practicing. I'm like, you know what? Now it's your turn. I said, you do it. So the guy does it. And it was so good. So effortless. Like, he was just, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I hate you.
No. He did it so good, so well. Like, oh, that's amazing. You know, and then the girls jumped in trying to do a front roll, and I'm trying to show them too how to do it. It was fun. It was a good time, yeah. Yeah, I think Terry's excited for me, and yeah, he's excited, I think, because he'll always ask me, you know, when I get back home, oh, what did you do? You know, how was it? How did it go? And yeah, so he's excited.
There's any possibility of him ever trying it?
I don't know. I really don't know.
It's like a cult. You know that, right?
It's like, well, the only thing I've heard is once you start and just, you know, you get in the habit of going, it's like you're addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you're addicted. So I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, how many times do you go once a week now?
So I can go to three classes. Right now on the schedule, they have four classes for adults. But one of them is with Nogi. Mm-hmm. So I think that's more for the higher belts. I don't think the white belts go to that one, from what I understood, what Bobby was saying. So right now I could go to a Tuesday night class, a Thursday night class, and a Sunday afternoon. And I believe that they're going to add a few more classes. I think the place is growing and there's a lot more people interested. So yeah, good. My goal is to go at least three times a week. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying, if you're only going once now or twice, that's going to escalate very quickly. You'll see.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It's like, when I started with my son, George, right? Because I got the three kids, right? And all three train. And so when I started, one of the draws, or I guess one of the excuses that got me in there to, like, bite the bullet and do it and commit to it was my son, right? My son wanted to do it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? If I sign up with my son, then I won't have any excuses, because then I'll be, like, shamed by my own child, right? If I don't go, right? And, you know, sometimes you need that motivation to get past the fear, which is a lot. And so I remember I started twice a week. And that, for me, at the beginning was too much. It was like, oh, I'm so tired. I would do one session and then I'd be sore for like 3 days.
Yes.
Like, I couldn't get out of the car. Like, I couldn't, I opened the door, I couldn't get out of the driver's side. Like, so, and I'm like, how do these people do? Like, these guys are there. I see these guys like every day, you know? And you know, now I'm there 5-6 times a week. So it's like, it doesn't, and it's That's not awesome. Enough. Like, it's like, oh, why can't I get some more time? Why can't you do another lunch class? You know, my instructor. Yes.
Well, I think that's what they're working on, is doing some lunch classes, which would be great, because I'm home right now. So while they're at school, I'll definitely, you know, hop on over there and do a lunch class. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
That's great. What about the girls? Any thoughts of maybe putting them in one day or getting into kids classes?
Yeah. So Crisanti, my eldest, she's 7. She's definitely interested in it. She's really obsessed with, you know, watching Ninja Kids and all these kids that do martial arts, and she'll do her own thing. I'll see her, you know, kicking, punching and doing all these. So I told her, I said, do you want to try it out? And she said, the thing with her is she wants to have a friend, somebody with her.
Okay.
So I said, okay, well, you know, I can sign up Alexia as well, her sister, my other daughter. And then I also spoke with my brother and I said, about his son, my nephew, Johnny, signing up as well and getting them in together, the three of them. Mm-hmm. So now we're just, yeah, I'm just going to get some more information about all that with the kids' classes. And yeah, I think we're going to sign them up.
Nice.
And get them going as well there. My brother at first was saying, I don't know about, you know, the kids and BJJ, maybe they should start off, you know, somewhere else first and, you know, do karate, you know, they just want to kick and punch. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I think they should start, you know, where I'm going. And because I know of a few other moms from my kids' school who take their kids to the same place. And I spoke to them and I said, you know, how are you guys liking it? How are the kids liking it? And they love it. They said it's a great, great program. The kids have a lot of fun. They also, you know, get a good workout. Like one of the moms was telling me her daughter, almost every class, you know, she's coming out and her face is red and she's sweating. I'm like, oh, just like me. My face beat red, you know, sweating. Yeah. So I think we're going to get the kids to do it as well.
Yeah. It's the thing you could do for them. It's, of course we're biased, right? Cause we have a podcast about jiu-jitsu. So, but you know, karate, like it's not like karate is not good either. It can be very good. It's just, especially for kids, like from a self-defense point of view, from like just the real world, jiu-jitsu is going to serve them better. Just to defend themselves and not to be, you know, to de-escalate situations. And even in the school, like anyway, there will be growing up, especially as they move into high school as well. You know, it will help them more, right? As them not being aggressors, but being able to de-escalate situations and being self-defensive, which is what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is all about, right? And so they'll be able to stop attacks without hurting other people, right?
Yeah, and that's so important. I think it's so important for all of us, for everybody to, you know at some level self-defense and, you know, somewhat know what to do in a situation where you're, you know, oh crap, you know, what am I going to do here? You know, have some knowledge of how to protect yourself. I think it's very important. And the kids do. Sure. And I remember when I was doing Tang Sido, when I was a kid, our instructor, he was so hard on us. He was so, very, very strict. And I learned how to be very disciplined with him and just, you know, it was such a great experience. But I mean, now I think a lot of parents would be like, yeah, no, I don't think that this is appropriate. Yeah. But but I learned so much and just so much respect and discipline. It was great. And I want the same for the kids. I want them to experience the same thing. And I know this, their classes will not be the same as what I had when I was a kid, but you know, it's all there, right? The same values and things that you learn are all there. So, and I think it's important.
Sure.
Yeah.
Father Thomas, when your little one gets old enough, I know you're going to be, well, you could just teach her.
Yeah.
You can just teach her in house.
Yeah. She'll just grow up doing it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good for the kids too. It's good for their experience. And you'd be surprised. Like the kids, I watch the kids rolling. Man, some better shows than the adults.
Well, I saw the video that you sent to Terry of Katerina. I was like,
oh my God, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's impressive. That was awesome.
Yeah. She's very aggressive. Like not aggressive in a bad way. She's so nice. But then when the timer goes off, like when she hears the sound, it's like a bull, you know, and it's let out of the out of the pen, right? And then she's like no mercy. And then when it's over, slump and you know, slap it and bump, right? And we're friends.
Yeah. But, that's awesome. You know, that's great.
Boys, they don't want to roll with her.
Oh,
she just
look at that.
Yeah, she takes him down. She mounts and she goes for the arm bars right away. Like she's like, she's like, no, Katerina, we're not doing chokes today. And she's trying to do a rear naked choke. You kicked out of the class.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, and they all have different personalities, but that's why there's something for everybody, right? Because Angelo's different, my other son, my outman, and then George is very kind of quieter, and not, who actually started first before the other two, but he's more, he's not as aggressive, right? He's like, more, you know, more timid, I guess you could say. But yeah, there's something for all of them, and it's just, it's good health for them, right? They, my kids.
Absolutely.
They train three times a week. It's, and it's, good. I'm assuming, well, Riverdale, it's close to where you guys are, right? Cause it's down.
Yeah, it's close. It's close to us. Very close. Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah. I mean, like, our place is 5 minutes away. And if the kids train the same day as you do, that's the best, right? Because then you can just, you're gonna commit like a whole night.
But yeah.
At least it's just, you know, it's all one shot, right? That's what I do with my kids. I take them, you know, it's 5 to 7, you know, like, because my youngest has one class and the twins have another class, right? They're back to back. So it's a long, it's a while, right? Like, but, and then I take them home or Joanna comes fix them up and then I go back for my late class, right? But it's good, right? Because you do it as a family, and it's motivating.
Yeah. I'm excited to sign them up and get them started there, and with my nephew as well. I don't know about Alexia, my second daughter, how she'll feel about it, because she's very quiet, very, I don't know if it's going to be her thing, but
sure.
I mean, there's no harm in trying it and getting her to try it and see how it goes. And
yeah,
she's very like, I just want to dance and twirl. Meanwhile, my other daughter, Chrysanthi's like doing all these ninja stuff, you know, running around, flying around, doing all these moves and
that's okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you, I don't want to say luck because we don't believe in luck, but I wish you hard work and dedication.
Thank you.
Because it will pay off. And it's exciting. I'm always excited when we see other people, especially who are in our own circles and other Greek Orthodox people who are getting into it as well. I think it's good for all the families. So, I thank you for coming on our podcast because we need to hear these kind of stories and like how people's experiences are and what's good and what's bad and all the different type of experiences. So people out there can kind of hear about this and get the word out.
Yeah. It's great. And I thank my mom a lot because, you know, back then I didn't really know any Greek other kids doing any form of martial arts. It wasn't really, you know, something in our community that was important. So, but my mom was always like, just try everything, get into everything, find what you like. And she was very, you know, just joining us, signing us up for things, for everything. And martial arts was one of them. And till this day, it was probably the sport that I liked the most out of, you know, everything else, soccer, swimming, gymnastics. It was probably the thing that I enjoyed the most and that I stuck to the longest.
Until now.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Father Thomas, any last questions for our guests? Did we miss anything?
No, I think that's it. That sounded good. And I think just don't quit. Just keep.
Yeah.
It's like all you do in jiu-jitsu, it's like it becomes like a lifestyle, you know, it's just. It's
right. Like, yeah. Make it part of your routine.
Yeah.
It's hard though, because every time I know that someone is going to have, you know, be stuck with me and kind of, you know, showing me this and doing that. And, you know, so they're kind of missing out on their, you know, that's the one thing I'm like, oh man, like.
Not missing out.
Oh, don't worry about
that. You
know. No.
And then, you know.
One day it's going to be you doing that. And it's not even going to be that long from now, because there's always somebody new coming through the doors, right? 6 months from now, you're still going to be a newbie, right? But you know, 6 months more than the new person who walks in the door. And then somebody's going to turn to you and say, oh, can you show me how to do a shrimp? You're going to say, I'll show you because I've been doing it for 6 months, right? So then you're like, oh my goodness, it's the same thing. It's just, it's a circle of life.
It's a circle of life, yes. But I'm super, super appreciative and grateful whenever they take the time to show me things. I'm like, thank you. It was awesome, you know, like, especially my first class when that other student pretty much spent the whole hour with me. I was like, man, I'm like, thank you so much. That's awesome. I'm like, I know you missed out on your, you know, your workout and everything, but you know, he just made me feel just part of the family, you know?
Yeah.
So, which is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well,
thank you very much, Christina.
Thank you.
I hope that we continue to hear from you and about your progress, and maybe in a little while we'll have you back on and you can tell us how everything's going.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
Or I'll see you in the future, maybe on the mats. Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah.
The mats, whatever. And because the jiu-jitsu world is not as big as we think, right? Especially in one city. So you get to know a lot of different people and start visiting other places and things like that. So I'm excited for you. And I know Father Tom is excited for you. And Terry's excited for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish you a blessed rest of Lent. Kalia Nasasi.
Thank you. Epices.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
For being here.
Yeah,
thank you.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.